before beginning, as you have heard, the principle of the Sharia and the Deen of Islam is that after the Wahi and Revelation have ended upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is not going to be coming any new prophet or new form of guidance. So therefore, anyone who sees good dream or good vision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with, if they comply with the Quran and Sunnah and Sharia, they are accepted as they are just confirming what's already known through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if they in any way they oppose or they are against, then actually they are just thrown away. They are then, because the person who is not a prophet, he can be even a very big wali, he cannot be ma'soon, he cannot be saved from shaitanic interference, etc., etc. But the vision which the brother was mentioning, Rasulullah already mentioned that whenever you pass the gardens of paradise, take your share, he said to the Sahaba, Rizwanullah Ajmain. The Prophet said, कि जब तुम जन्नत के बागों में से गुजरो तो अपना हिस्सा पूरा लोगों से. Sahaba Rizwanullah Ajmain said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the gardens of paradise? We don't see any gardens of paradise here on this face of the earth. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, they are the halaqat of zikr, the gatherings of zikr. So that's already known through hadith that yes, what Rasulullah was saying, that they are in as though Jannah, they are the gardens of Jannah. So any gathering of zikr which is done purely is actually as though you are sitting in the garden of Jannah. Mujalis of zikr. This is in the Sahih Hadith. Also, what's also been mentioned is that any person, any guide or teacher, he cannot by force take people towards Jannah or free them from sins. This power is not given to them as such, nor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this to be used as such. Every teacher, every spiritual person or guide which is sent, and the awliya and sulaha, salihin, they can only advise you. They can only advise you, give you nasiha, and equip you with the knowledge if you need, like we are doing now. After that, the ball is in your court, however you want to do, accept or reject. Because this freedom of will is dangerous, we are going to speak about that. And thirdly, if one is said they follow a teacher, anyone is followed until they follow Rasulullah sallam and the Quran. When anyone leaves that, no matter how big peer he is or how big scholar he is, he is not to be looked at. He himself has become devoid now. He himself has become astray now. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest wali and sahabi after Anbiya alayhim salam. And when first time he addressed the people on the member of Rasulullah sallallahu after the Prophet sallallahu passed away from this outward world, he said, my obedience upon you is necessary until I follow Allah and His Messenger. If I don't follow Allah and His Messenger in any way, you don't need to follow me. It's not incumbent upon you, shouldn't follow me. So one should be clear about these matters, because people mention dreams, and in dream there's something against Sharia, and they'll be just doing it. Yeah, I've seen good dream, etc., etc., or I've seen vision. This Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, who actually claimed to be a prophet, he also was led astray through like this actually. Shaitan used to show him things. He used to see slowly, 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 slowly. He convinced him that you are a prophet. And then actually he claimed he is a prophet, some kind of prophet, and he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and etc. So it's very dangerous. So be clear always, as the brother had mentioned, it's never part of the tariq, path to Allah, nor it's necessary, nor it determines your status, how spiritual you are or how you are not. Your status is determined by the things which I am going to say, which are mentioned in the book. Inshallah. So after that we begin now. Alhamdulillah wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da wa la ummata ba'da wa la kitaba ba'da wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah waliyu salihin wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa shafi'ana Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today we are going to continue with the guidance on how to reach Allah, the path which Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbal, Sayyidina Abu Hassan Shazli, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, and back to there the great Ta'bin, Imam Sufyan Thawri, and Imam Hassan Basri, and Imam Hussain, Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhul kareem, and they got from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, got from Allah, which was the, as I mentioned yesterday, based on the Suratul Mu'minun, the 10 verses of the Quran. And there is explanation, examples, so that me and you understand. Yesterday, if you look at the screen, we left where you were told about that you should know who you are, because that is a big problem as well. If you don't know who you are, then you can be deceived. You can be serving a shaitan and you think you are serving yourself. Nafs is not you. Nafs is not you. But many people, we don't differentiate between the nafs and the body and ourselves. We think our mouth is enjoying, we are enjoying. No, it is the nafs enjoying, it's the body enjoying, not the spirit. We think when the body or the nafs is facing hardship, we are feeling the pain and hardship. No, the spirit, which is the real you, is not feeling that. And all our lives until death we stay sometime in this confusion, and only at the time of death we come to know, I was not that body, I was not that mouth, I was not that stomach, I was not those ears, I was not those private parts, I was not those feet, it was not me. Because at that time, when your body will be lying, and your wife and other widow and parents or brothers and sisters will be crying, someone will ask them, who is this? Some other person come to your house after your death. They will be saying, this is the body of Bakr or Umar or Zaid or Nazir or Bashir or Abdul. This is the body of such a person. They won't say, this is Bashir, or this is Hassan, or this is Abdullah. What they will say when it will be lying and people crying and weeping and etc. etc. They will be saying, this is the body of Abu Bakr, or this is the body of Hassan, this is the body of Zaid, or this is the body of such a person. They won't be saying. So where is that? Where is Zaid now? Where is Hassan now? Where is Abdul now? They know, and everyone knows, that real Abdul has left now. Because if it was you, they would have said, it is Bashir, Zaid is lying there, Abdul is there. They say, no, this is the body of Abdul. Abdul was something else. So, true identity. And today we are going to, as we covered the to an end that we had the servant, we being a servant of Allah. But now we are going to go in little bit of detail of knowing our whole big story, bigger picture of the whole human being. The philosophers of the world, other than Anbiya alayhimus salam, they give you a very narrow view of the world. Very narrow view. So because your view is narrow, you become narrow-minded. A person, a Muslim, is a broad-minded than all the people on the face of the earth. All the kuffar. Because all the kuffar, they are only basing their view on this small planet here, earth. Their everything is this. Their view is such short. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the view from this diagram is based upon the first five verses of Quran, or the first surah of Quran, which was revealed, Suratul Alaq. This whole diagram is a diagrammatic representation of those verses of Quran of Surat Alaq, which Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam revealed first time on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Min shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra bismi rabbik. That was the beginning. So here as well you see, we have shown that there was no creation in existence. It was only Iqra bismi rabbik. Only your Lord existed. Your Rabb existed. Kana Allahu wa lam yakum ma'ahu shay. There was Allah and nothing existed. So what does that mean for us? It means that we did not exist. It means we didn't have any form of existence other than that we were in the knowledge of Allah. Allah knew about us even before creating us. He knew, I will create this certain person named so-so, and I will send him on the face of the earth, and what he will do, etc., etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge was all-encompassing at that time as well, as it is always absolute knowledge. So no one existed except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah azza wa jal, out of His wisdom, His will, He gave us a great opportunity and brought us out of nothing. Iqra bismi rabbi alladhi khalaq. The one who created. But what was created first? The body or the spirit? The world of spirits or the world of this dunya, the world of bodies? We know in the Quran and Sunnah that it has been mentioned that it was the Alamul Arwah, the world of spirits. That's where our first existence came in. But Shaitan wants you not to remember that. He just wants you to remember your birthday is actually this, and your death day is when you actually, when your matter ends and finishes. No. Birthday and day of death are not your lives really. That is the beginning of the test. Death is the end of the test. Birth is the beginning of the test. It's not alive really for enjoyment or anything. Living is before and after. Here it is a test. So if you ponder over this world of spirits, very briefly I will be covering two incidents. Do waqiyat are mentioned in the Quran which took place here. Alami arwah mein kya hua? Many things would have happened there, but two important things which are related to us happened there. One was that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Suratul in the end of the 22nd juz, Inna arazna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. This was one thing which took place here. What was that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, He didn't force any creation to do, in the beginning, to do anything. Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Inna arazna al-amanat ala al-samawat." Allah Azza wa Jal presented a trust, a banner, a power. Allah Azza wa Jal said, "I want to give a power to someone who will accept this power." Where? Ala al-samawat, to the heavens. Ala al-samawati wal-ard, the earth and the earthly creation. Heavens and the heavenly creation, angels. Wal jibal, meaning other creation as well, like mountains. So, the creation, if I say I want to give you a power, I want to give you authority, you will ask, what is that authority? Wo kya hai amana? What is that authority? So, firstly, because the heavens were presented, asmanu ko pehle Allah ne pucha. So, first thing, the heavens were asked and they said, "O Allah, what is that power which you want to give us?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm just for explanation purpose I'm saying this, not the words, that I have not given freedom of disobeying me to anyone up to now. And that is true. And who can disobey Allah without His will, if He doesn't will so? If He didn't allow freedom, who can? No one had freedom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everything is following me. In kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa atir rahman abda. Everything is following me. Everything is my servant and slave. But now, I want one creation or two or however many ever of you want, someone to willingly follow me and obey me. All are obeying me because they cannot disobey me. They cannot go against my command. Dusre to majboor hai. They have to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot sin like angels, ma'asoom hai, animals, other things, creation, the heavens and earth. But in the beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal gave this choice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this power is power of freedom of will that you will be able to obey or disobey for limited time, for only short time. Asmanu ne pucha, dekhiye asman bhi kitne siyane hain. Asmanu ne pucha ke ya Allah, if we use that trust and amana in a good way, what is the end result? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, such reward, such pleasure, such life, which no other creation will get. And they said, if we abuse that trust and that amana, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then such punishment, such wrath and such torture, no other creation would have suffered that. Sayyidina Imam Hassan al-Basri rahmahullah, he says, just by hearing this, 3 days the sky, the heavens were crying and weeping with the fear and the awe and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how great the heavens are. How great the heavens are. Lekin wo rote rahe 3 din with the fear of Allah. Just hearing the disobedience of Allah. Sirf sun ke. Just hearing the disobedience of Allah, they were so fearful, and we doing disobedience of Allah are not fearful. Mara kya haal hoga? Ki asman sirf sun ke Allah ki nafarmani ka naam wo rote rahe, aur hum kar ke bhi Allah ki nafarmani ro nahi rahe, dar nahi rahe. Are we greater, stronger than the heavens? No, we are very weak. The heavens said, the sky said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, you have created us, you know us. We have given stars place in our space. Stars are placed in the heavens. Angels like Jibreel and Mikael live in us. We are such. But we cannot bear that trust. We cannot bear that responsibility. We don't want to take the risk of disobedience. We are fine however we are. Similarly angels, similarly other creations, similarly earth, similarly other creation like mountains as well said this, so it will be lengthy discussion, so I'll leave that, but you can now analogize and think about other creation that they also said similar things. But when it came to human being, me and you, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, that is the very dangerous decision which we had made there in the world of spirits. وَحَمَلَ الْإِنسَانِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not praise human being that we took that. He said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا, he has very much been extremely unjust, meaning to himself really, and extremely ignorant he proved, that he took such responsibility in on which his eternal, he eternally he can be punished. So human beings and jinnat, they put up their hand, the spirits, they said, we take this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, I have given you now this. Now what will happen is, in the world of spirit, then the second incident took place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all those who took this power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, you have taken one thing from me, which is the power of freedom of will I have given you. Now I want something back from you. One thing I have given you, one thing you give me. The arwah asked, Ya Allah, what is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you give me a promise now. A promise, what? أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنْ عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ, that you give me the promise that you will always believe and obey me as your Lord wherever I send you, however I test you, with whatever I test you, this promise you give to me because I have given you freedom. This is a deal. You had something which no other creation have, you give me something as well. So these two things, where did they take place? Here, well, this is the background what's happening on the earth. If you don't know the background of the story, you cannot, if you are watching even a film and you start watching from the middle, you won't understand. Because you might be saying, oh, this is here, why this happened, etc. You are confused. Or you start reading a story and a book from the middle, you won't be able to make sense. That's why the kuffar are never made, are not able to make sense of this world. They keep saying things like this, oh, why is there famine on the earth? Oh, why are people killing each other? Oh, why they are not living peacefully? Oh, why people are starving with hunger? Why people are dying in Africa? Why this is happening? Because they don't know the beginning of the story. Unko shuru ka pata hi nahi hai. They've opened their eyes in this world and they're just judging what's happening. It should be peaceful, etc. While you and me now know that why everything is happening like this on the face of the earth is because we human being and jinnat are abusing our trust. It's not that Allah is making people suffer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ, Allah never does zulm upon anyone. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ, it's the people who do zulm upon themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you see chaos on the land and sea? This is not because of me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, all chaos, fasad in the sea and the land, bima kasabat aydin nas, it is because of the doing of the human beings. It is because of the amal of the human being. Liyudhiqahum ba'd alladhi, so that some of them can taste what they are doing. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they might return back to obedience. So this is like a parent, when their child do not listen, they might give them little bit of punishment, detention, so that they turn to obedience. It's not the real punishment. Real punishment is going to come in Akhirah. Real reward comes in Akhirah, not here. Don't seek the reward here. Here you can't be rewarded fully. Only partial reward comes here. Because this world is not world of reward. It is the world of action, world of test. It is abode of testing, abode of amal, abode of action and using your freedom. It's not abode of reward and punishment. But some punishment and reward come for different reasons. So now you understand why there's chaos on the earth, why there are wrongdoings, why there are injustices, why there are wars, why these things are happening, and why earthquakes happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, once or twice a year we try to admonish people so that they return to their real purpose, but they don't. So this happened where? World of spirits. These two incidents. One is inna arazna al-amanata, which is the amana is given. Second is the alastu bi rabbikum, and then the final one came. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took another thing as well from in the world of spirit. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِذَا خَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is another incident mentioned in the Alamul Arwah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only normal human beings, even Anbiya alayhi salam, they were brought together. Who? Assembly of Anbiya alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, that I will give you book and wisdom, and I will send you also face of the earth. Because Anbiya don't need to, Anbiya se to nahi ye kaha ja sakta, wo to khuda ko khuda, Allah ko Allah mante hain, unse to, they are also masoom. So different types of covenant is taken from them. They are masoom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you will be on the face of the earth, summa ja'akum rasool, my messenger will come, be sent to you, my messenger Muhammad, Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Latu'minunna bihi wa latansurunna. You must believe upon him and you must help him. This is really, when the Quran was revealed, all prophets have passed away. Passed away. Even Isa alayhi salam is in the barzakh. Although he didn't die, he went to barzakh livingly, meaning in the heavens. So, what is the significance of saying when the revelation of Quran came, there were no prophets? So the message really is for us, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us message, that look, if I am taking this promise to from Anbiya, that you should follow and help and believe Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Anbiya have to do that, what about you and me? This is the message. Isme ye bataya gaya, agar Anbiya se ye ahd liya gaya, کہ بھئی تم نے اس نبی پر ایمان لانا ہے, ان کی نصرت کرنی ہے, اگر نہ کی تو اللہ پاک نے وارننگ دی انبیاء علیہ السلام, although انبیاء علیہ السلام معصوم, it's not given to them, the warning is for us, کہ دیکھو یہ نبی ہو کر یہ بھی اس نبی کی پر ایمان لانا ضروری ہے, ان کی مدد, ان کے دین کی مدد, ان کی نصرت, ان کی بشارتیں دینا, ان کے آنے کی یا جس طرح بھی مدد جو ہے کرنی ہے, اللہ نے جس طرح بھی ان کے یعنی تقدیر میں لکھا ہے. Whichever way, if Anbiya, Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Isa al-Islam, Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, they are being said, you should believe and follow and help this messenger, then what about us normal people? Who are really born in Ummat-e-Muhammadiyah? And me and you say, no, I have this person to follow, I have this model. I am following the model in the magazine, who will be a model to hell. But for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Anbiya alayhi salam and to other people, I also have a model. You also have models? You show it on the TV, on magazines, and all for all different things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I also have a model. My model is لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. My model is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the model sent by Allah, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to follow. How he believe like him. How he eat like him. How he slept, sleep like him. How he talked like him. In every dimension. How Allah wants you to do things, just look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how Allah wants you to do things. That's why he sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show what Allah wants. Because it does not befit Allah to sleep, to eat, to drink. It doesn't befit. Allah ki shaan ke laik nahi hai sona, khana peena, shadi nikah karna. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet who will do all these things and show how Allah wants you to do all these things. Simple as that. So the model of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent the model as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said to even Anbiya alayhi muslim that you must believe, you must believe. It is in the Quran. Ye Quran mein hai. That is why it is said to Mirza Ghulam Ahmad that you came after how, were you there as well when this covenant took place? Because all the prophets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered there, all the prophets then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered in Masjid Aqsa. Whoever was not there is not a prophet. Because all Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. So how did Anbiya alayhi wa sallam help and the Rasul Islam help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deen? And how did they believe? They already believe in the world of spirits, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that their teacher there. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Alastu bi rabbikum," am I not your Lord? All the arwah, anbiya and awliya and sahaba were looking. What shall we say? Because they never heard any speech before. This was the first time they were hearing something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were silent. They were not responding. In the tafsir, it is come, and also Sayyidina Abdul Aziz al-Dabbar rahmahullah mentioned that it was the ruh of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who answered first. It was the spirit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who answered first, saying that, "Oh yes, my Lord, you are verily our Lord." And then after hearing this, then all the spirits of Anbiya and Awliya, they said, "Qalu bala shahidna, you are verily our Lord." And then all people, even Kuffar, Arwah, they followed and they said it. So that is there. So how the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, they brought belief, they already brought Iman upon in the Alam Arwah, but then they testified Iman when they met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in Jerusalem in Masjid Aqsa. In the night of Miraj, they physically came and met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and embraced, and as though also believed upon him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the prophet of other creation only; he is the prophet of Anbiya as well. Huzur Ali Sallallahu Wasallam Nabi al Anbiya bhi hai, like he is the prophet of the creation, the Malaika, angels, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He is, the prophets also follow him. The prophets also. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Law kana," if Musa al-Islam was living today, he will also have to follow me. Meaning he'll have to leave his Torah and his way of life which was revealed upon him. He will have to follow my sunnah. There is no option for him. This is a message for us. Okay, who I am saying, I am following this person, this is my leader, this is my political model and leader, this is my star, I am a fan of this, this is my peer. Or peer jo hai, wo keh raha hai sunnat ke mutabak, khud bhi nahi chal raha wo, na wo apna galat kaam kar raha hai. And you are saying, no, my Shaykh says this, my Shaykh says this. Here Rasulullah is saying that if Prophet of Allah Sayyidina Musa was here, he had to follow the sunnah, the prophetic way, the methodology. What to say about any peer, any sheikh, any scholar, any mujtahid? They're all null and void when they leave Rasulullah's way and sunnah. Finish. Finish. They're not known anything. Their knowledge goes to completely null. Like shaitan has vast amount of knowledge, but it's zero now because actually there's no benefit in his knowledge. So there are many, many scholars and many, many peers, many, many these personalities who are gone astray. And their disciples are following them as well. Who kare mere peer sahab kehte hain daadi zaruri nahi hai, daadi bhi rakho thi nahi rakho phir bhi theek hai. Okay, ke aapke peer ko Allah ne nabi bana ke bheja ya Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ko nabi bana ke bheja, who has to be followed? Your shaykh or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Person is not doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him tawfiq, at least he is believing, alhamdulillah, like someone who believes upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is different, he is a Muslim, but who doesn't believe then is. So if someone believes we should follow sunnah, alhamdulillah, if he is not, he is only sinful. But if he then actually goes against it and then actually propagates against it, any prophetic sunnah, then he is going against, then he is becoming extremely sinful. He might not get the tawfiq of acting upon it as well. And no excuse will be heard from him. As I said, why did Rasulullah say this? Because once Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came with some pieces, some pages of Torah, where there was great wisdom. Obviously it was Book of Allah. There must be wisdom in there. There must be knowledge and light in there. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they brought some, he could read, he saw very good things in Torah, very wise things. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he began to see. He said, Ya Rasulullah, look what it says in Torah. How great wisdom is there in the teachings of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, which was revealed. And he was reciting from Torah, reading from the book, but not looking at the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba says, as Hazrat Umar was reading, Rasulullah's face was turning red and red with anger. He didn't. But he didn't notice. Only Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala informed to Sayyidina Umar, look at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Umar was a very, very, very strong person. His height was very high. Tall person, strong person. But when he looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fell down upon his knees. Because Rasulullah said, Nusirtu bir ru'b, Allah has helped me with ru'b. Ru'b is the majesty. Prophet said in one riwayah and in another riwayah different, that on 1 month's distance, my majesty, my ru'b actually goes wherever I am. Nuhul Islam Salaam ne farmaya, ek mahine ki musafat par mera ru'b jo hai, Allah ne meri madad ki. تو جب حضور علیہ السلام کو جلال میں انہوں نے دیکھا تو وہ تو گھٹنوں کے بل گر گئے سیدنا عمر بن خطاب رضی اللہ تعالیٰ. And what did he say? He said the same thing which is مسنون دعا. He said, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهُمْ وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدِ النَّبِيَّ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. He said, I am pleased with Allah my Lord and deen, Islam my deen and سيدنا محمد as my prophet. And then Rasulullah said what I mentioned. He said that if Musa and Isa was to live here at this time, they would leave their Torah and Injil and follow my Quran and my Sunnah. Amen. So one is the way when in the Masjid Aqsa, they all believed and they renewed their allegiance to the Rasulullah sallam, and also the Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is the last of all the messengers from Bani Israel. He is the second last prophet from entirety, but from all of them, but the last one from Bani Israel. So when he is the prophet before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he as though represents all the previous prophets. Jaise ek namainda hota hai, ambassador hota hai ek mulk ka. UK sends an ambassador to another country. He is representing all the government, all the government servants, and all the queen and everyone he is representing. Ambassador. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, being the last of them, of Bani Israel, he became ambassador of all the prophets, and then he will help physically as well this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he is coming. Because he is representing all the prophets and anbiya alayhi salam. Ya aap kyun aa rahe hain? Isliye ki aap tamam anbiya ke namainde ban ke aayenge ke jo Allah unhone vaada kiya tha la tu'minunna bihi wa la tansurunna. To Isa alayhi salam ki madad goya tamam anbiya ki madad hai. Tamam anbiya alayhi salam madad kar rahe hain. Aur nusrat kar rahe hain ummat Muhammadiya ki. But he will also show when he comes. To kya Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned the scene. Aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne wo scene bhi bayan kiya, how he is going to descend from the heaven. Hamare kehte hain modern Islam hai, ye hai, wo hai. Aap sunnat ki ittiba nahi. So Isa alayhi salam will come centuries after. Even now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. I am not very fond of these people who now and then, you know, they are actually just callers of doom that. Now Imam Mahdi is going to come anyway. It's nothing to do with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to send, he will send. You try to follow the guidance, as the mashayikh say, that those people who often say, when is Imam Mahdi coming, they will be the first one to leave him. Because only few hundreds will follow him. A few hundred in the beginning. All of the millions of Muslims, they say, no, I can't leave my wife, I have to attend my business, I have to, you know, go to my shop, I have to drive my taxi. It's okay, Imam Mahdi has come, but you know, I have to do things, etc., etc. This is the idea. Those who will do, they are not asking, they are just getting, meaning, whatever, they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of the mashayikh say, very much, they say, Imam Mahdi, Imam Muhammad Mahdi, is small Mahdi. The greatest Mahdi is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mahdi Azam is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mahdi Asghar is the Imam Mahdi who will come at the end of the time. They said if you are not benefiting from the coming of the greatest Mahdi, how will you benefit coming of a smaller Mahdi? تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تو آ چکے ہیں نا جو مہدی آزم ہے وہ آ چکے ان کے آنے سے تم فائدہ نہیں اٹھا رہے ان کی سنت سے ان کی شریعت سے ان کے دین سے ان کی اتباع سے تم فائدہ نہیں تو ان سے چھوٹے درجے کے وہ نبی بھی نہیں ہوں گے it will be a normal meaning a wali a very high ranking degree امام مہدی how will you follow meaning how will you benefit from him فائدہ اٹھانا ہے تو ابھی حضور علیہ السلام سے اٹھا لیں You are under the guidance of Mahdi Azam, the greatest Mahdi, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will come also. He will also invite you towards Sunnah. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam also will divide. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Sham, in Jerusalem or in Damascus, when Isa alayhi salam is going to come down, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will Allah send him? He is in the heavens. Wo asmanon pe hai na. And he is going to come in the last centuries. Jahan modern, both duniya aur zyada modern ho jayegi. World will become more modern at that time. He is going to come at that time. The world will more be advanced. So angels are going to send him, bring him down. He is in the heavens. Now he is being prepared to be sent down. How will they clothe him? وہ کیا کہیں گے ان کو پینٹ شرٹ پہناؤ کیونکہ ابھی ماڈرن زمانہ ہے ابھی انہوں نے جا کے امت کی جو ہے یعنی مقتدا بننا ہے انہوں نے لیڈر بننا ہے ان کو obviously their dress جنت میں کتنے ڈریس ہیں what dress they will be meaning clothed in to be sent on the face of the earth رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم mentioned in the hadith He said that when Isa bin Maryam, son of Mary, is going to come down, he will be clothed in two chadars, two ment, according to my sunnah, he alayhi salatu wasalam said. وہ لوگ بھی پہن کے بھی آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت ہی زمین پر آئیں گے. دو چادر, ایک ازار ہوگا, ایک اوپر چادر ہے. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم used to wear this as well sometime, not all the time. اب یہ نہیں آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جبا بھی پہنا ہے, آپ علیہ السلام نے قمیص بھی پہنی ہے, کبھی کبھی آپ علیہ السلام نے قمیص پہنی ہے, صرف جبا پہنا ہے, کبھی چادر بھی پہنی ہے اور چادر لے کر, کبھی دو چادریں, دو, ایک اپنے ازار کے طور پر, ایک اوپر. اور دا سننا آف دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان ڈفرنٹ ویز. اس لیے ہمارے مشائخ فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک رنگ کو کبھی بھی سختی نہ کرو کہ یہ سنت, کامل سنت پر چلنا چاہتے ہو تو سارے رنگ پہنو جو حضور علیہ السلام نے پہنے. اف یو وانٹ ٹو فالو کمپلیٹ سننا دین ڈونٹ اسٹک ٹو ون کلر. آئی ایم بلیک کلر, آئی ایم اونلی گوئنگ ٹو ویئر دس. وائٹ کلر, آئی ایم گوئنگ ٹو ویئر دس. گرین کلر, آئی ایم گوئنگ ٹو ویئر دس. اف یو فائنڈ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم altered, he changed color, then you change color. Sometimes he علیہ السلام wore cap. آپ علیہ السلام نے کبھی ٹوپی پہنے, کبھی کبھی ٹوپی پہن لو, کبھی بھائی بگڑی پہن لو. یعنی اکثر جو ہے وہ امامہ شیخ باندھا. سملرلی چادر کبھی لی ہے, کبھی نہیں لی, بیکاز دا ادر وائز یو بیکم اے ڈسٹنکٹ پرسن. یو آر ناٹ فالوئنگ دین دا کمپلیٹ سننا آف دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, بیکاز دا کمپلیشن از دیٹ یو کیپ چینجنگ. ڈونٹ بیکم known as, you know, he alayhi salam did not do like this. آپ علیہ السلام نے اس طرح نہیں کیا. تو وہی جو ہے, تو اس وقت ان دیٹ ٹائم سیدنا عیسیٰ علیہ السلام ول بی کمنگ ٹو لیڈ دا مسلم امہ وائل بینگ کلوزڈ ان سنہ. وائل رسول اللہ مینشنڈ ہیئر ہیو اے بیئرڈ, فیس لینگتھ بیئرڈ, ہز ہیئر, زلفیں بھی آپ کی ہوں گی, اینڈ دا واٹر ول بی ٹپنگ ڈاؤن فرام ہز بلیسڈ hair, as though he has been given bath from the heavens, and he, that's how he is going to come. And when he comes, second thing he will teach other people, that you know I am the prophet and messenger of Allah, greatest, one of the greatest five messengers, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But by praying behind Imam Mahdi, he will show that I have become in the capacity of Ummati now, not in the capacity of prophethood and messengership. So meaning, we should do more. Even if Anbiya are so much doing, if Anbiya alayhim salam are so much actually, you may say, respecting and honoring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way, we, if we don't, we will be following devilish footsteps. And in the Gospel of Barnabas, جو ایک انجیل ہے جس میں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی یعنی بشارت عیسیٰ علیہ السلام نے دی ہے, اس میں رسول, he mentioned, سیدنا عیسیٰ علیہ السلام mentioned that I am not going to be there when this prophet comes, but if I was there, I would tie his shoelaces actually. This will be, I will be serving him like this. But we are killing the sunnah. We are abandoning the sunnah, and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is saying that I am going to do this. But obviously everyone will pay whatever they are doing. But for now actually, that's the matter. So these three incidents took place in, one was, two were regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three gathering. Alme Arwah mein ye teen waqiat pesh aaye. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took covenant, one from all people of the lordship of Allah, and one for the messengership and for helping and believing upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Anbiya alayhi salam. And as I said, that gives a message to us normal people, what should we do? If Anbiya alayhi salam are following and doing that, then what should the normal people do? So ye. Uske baad, now then Allah subhanahu said, okay, you have made this covenant, made this promise, now I am going to send you to a testing station, a testing place, a testing palace, and that is this face of the earth. Here. People say, some of the non-Muslims or some other skeptics, earth is imperfect. How God perfect can create the earth imperfect? Because there are so many things wrong here, there. And the mashayikh say, no, the earth is perfect testing place. There can never be a best better testing place. Even Jannah is not so much better testing place than earth. Earth is the best, perfect from the testing point of view. Yes, if you want to see it is a Jannah, it is imperfect. But the maker, the creator says it is testing place. If you think it should be heaven, there should be peace everywhere, etc., etc., why is there imperfections, etc., people die, live, they go ill, that is your mistake, that you are thinking that it is Jannah, and the maker, creator is saying it is testing place. In testing place you will be facing obstacles and different kinds of difficulties. That is mine and your fault, not actually the fault of the earth or the dunya. So it's like you are gone, you are going to a job and you are going through a test or for example, and there are certain obstacles, certain difficult questions, and you say, no, this is not good time which I had in that room. There were so much obstacles put me. I don't think the teachers are very good people, where they put this and it's not, I didn't feel comfort. All people are going to say, you didn't go there to have a bath or to be in comfort and picnic, that you went for exam. The questions are supposed to be there, the obstacles are supposed to be there. You thought this room is a room of picnic and enjoyment and pleasure, but this room was actually supposed to be, it was created as actually to, you will be examined there, you will be different exercises, different things you have to do, different questions you have to answer. If you want to have a picnic, that's the garden somewhere else. So this dunya is the room. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, Alladhi inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. The maker, the creator himself is saying in Surah Al-Kahf, the beginning verses of Surah Al-Kahf, Inna ja'alna, that we have made ma'ala al-ardi, whatever is on the earth, beautified, attractive. Why? To enjoy? No, linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu, to see how you respond with action. How do you respond? It is in order to test you. Linabluwahum, it's not to enjoy. If you feel attraction towards women, it's not for enjoyment purpose, it is to test you, because you can't be tested if you don't feel the pull, you don't feel the attraction. If you feel attracted towards dunya, it's not for that you should indulge in it, but rather it is for testing you. Only you can be tested when you have some kind of pull, some kind of attraction. And then there is a command of Allah, you keep back. One of the great shaykh, Sayyidina Imam Ahmad ibn Ata'ullah Sikandri, who I have been mentioning very much to you, because his sayings and his teaching, because he was one of the first person who wrote the teachings of Shazaliya Shaykh. And so writings are only of his, not of his previous predecessors. He said, ones whose heart, this dunya thing, one whose heart is attached to the life of this world is like one who builds a beautiful structure and palace or house over which sits a toilet that leaks down on it. Now try to understand what he is saying. He is saying the one who attaches his heart with this dunya which you are seeing, this world, is like what? Is like you build a beautiful house or structure, a room, above it is a toilet, and all people come to do a toilet there, and it's leaking upon that structure, and you actually, what's going to happen? He says, such a person will continue in this state until his outer appearance comes to reflect his inner reality. He said, what will eventually happen is that he will be filled and soiled as well, because he is, when your heart has a leak of filth, of love of dunya, it will be like this. So you look at those people, look at myself, look at yourself, whoever has attachment to dunya, slowly the filth, the toilet, of Shaitan has also got his toilet over dunya. Because these two things are actually related, Shaitan and dunya. As Sayyidina Imam Ali Khawas of great Shazali Sheikh and the Sheikh of Imam Abdul Wahab Sharani, who was Ummi person as well, Imam Ali Khawas, was completely unlettered, never went to madrasa, never studied, and his student Imam Sharani is one of the greatest scholars of this Ummah. He said that my Sheikh said, Sayyidina Ali Khawas, he said, dunya, the love of dunya is the daughter of shaitan. Dunya shaitan ki beti hai. Dunya is the daughter of shaitan. If you marry dunya, then your father, you will get frequent visit from your father-in-law. And when that he will visit frequently, then you are doomed. You are destined to be then actually destroyed. Kyunki phir shaitan ko mauka milta hai aane ka. Because both of these, why he said he is dunya is daughter? Dunya ko aapne kyu kaha ke wo daughter hai, wo uski beti hai? Because both are cursed in the Quran. Shaitan, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Shaitan, فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. You are accursed and you are rejected. And to dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا مَلْعُونَ. Everything, the dunya is cursed upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has never looked upon it with the sight of mercy. He said, everything, dunya and whatever is contained is cursed except knowledge, a person of knowledge, and anything related to that, meaning akhirah, meaning if a person is using dunya for akhirah, good and well, his dunya also become akhirah. That is also the saying of Shaykh Ibn Taula Sikandari Rahmahullah. He's one of his wise saying is that if you use dunya for akhirah, your dunya also become akhirah. And if you use akhirah, good deeds to attain money and dunya, your akhirah becomes dunya as well. Aapne farmaya, agar to tum dunya ko, maal ko, biwi bachchon ko, children, other wealth, social, political nature, whatever you are engaging for this to sake of akhirah, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased, and to make your akhirah, then all your worldly business, your marrying, your social relationships, your business also becomes akhirah. It doesn't remain dunya. It becomes deen. And he said, if you use these even religious things like worship, like prayers, or like dawah and speeches and reciting naats and nasheed for dunya, that is your ultimate aim, then all those worship and salah and prayer and the Quran recitation and the nasheed, they also become dunya as well. Phir wo agar tum dunya ke liye deen ko istemal kar rahe ho, dunya hasil karne ke liye sirf, to phir tumhara deen bhi dunya ban jata hai. Aur agar is dunya ko akhirat hasil karne ke liye, to dunya bhi akhirat ban jayegi. Isme wo scholars aa jate hain, wo naat padhne wale aa jate hain, ke jo sirf paise ke liye takreere karte hain, they only want to convey the message of Allah and His messengers only for money. If you don't pay for the thousands, you know, dollars or pounds, then we can't do any speech. People are paying for them. They say, we are happily, we will pay your ticket, we will look after you there. Still, I mean, they say, we want, unless you pay us 500 pounds, I'm not going to write a naat and nasheed. So that is why we play a recording. We don't have to call them in the Durood Majlis, which is free. Because all actually we are interested in is to hear of the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not actually the person himself. So if we take the money and listen to it, we are free to listen. We are free to do it. There is no need. Because we have to do what to them. We have to do it from the naat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam se gharaz hai. So we are concerned, we are not concerned, and most of them even don't have beards. Wo kon kitne ke wo khud hi sunnat pe nahi chal rahe, paison ke liye kar rahe, kya wo Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki praise सिखा रहे हैं when they are not themselves representing. There are certain ulama who are not actually acting upon deen, but they are giving very very fanciful lectures and this and charging. Meaning what I am saying that they are both kinds of scholars and ulama and the good and ulama-i su, ulama-i akhira, ulama-i su, ulama-i dunya, the reciters of nasheeds or qaris or of Quran. Rasulullah said, when there will be in the last days of my ummah, there will be qaris who will be reciting very very eloquently with very tajweed, but Quran will not be entering below their tongues and throats. Actually, you will see their actions are completely again. He is a big qari, not following even deen, maybe not even praying, maybe not even following sunnah, but he is very big qari. He can be a big qari, but not in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person who goes against the Quran, when that person recites Quran, the Quran curses that person. इसके बाद फिर वो पीर है, बहुत सारे वो जो उन्होंने अपना कारोबार बनाया हुआ है, लोग पैसे लूट रहे हैं, झूठ मूठ बता के तुम्हें जादू हो गया, ये हो गया, वे विल हेल्प यू दिस, जिन्नात आर कमिंग, जिन्नात आर गोइंग, ऑल दीज पीपल हु आई हैव मेड दीन टू अर्न अनलॉफुल मनी वाइल गेटिंग वेज इज फाइन. Someone is teaching tuition, good and well. Someone is doing imamat, good and well, they should be paid. Someone is muazzin, they should be paid. But I'm talking about those people who are manipulating the weaknesses of people or their need of deen, and then they are charging much, much, much more, and their only purpose is to achieve dunya. So that's what Shaykh Ibn Tawla Sikandri Rahmahullah is saying about dunya. That if you go to toilet on the way of sunnah to relieve yourself and thank Allah, that also become deen, that also takes you closeness to Allah. And if you come into the mosque to pray and nasheed and do taqreer and dawah or do, but to attain dunya and wahwa and, you know, a praise of people, you must have heard people, oh, I am doing so much good speech, why you are not saying subhanallah? Well, that's what they mean. You know, the nafs needs nourishment. Nafs ko jo hai, wo chahi hoti hai ke bhai meri tarif karein. The nafs needs that pumping, meaning ego, needs actually that air of actually respect and honor. So they can't really hold in their heart. They say then, aur kuch nahi, subhanallah to kaho. Why you need it? When you are doing it for Allah, that is enough motivation. Anbiya alayhi salam, they even were stoned, they were still giving dawah to people. Anbiya alayhi salam to patthar kha ke bhi wo kahe gaye, unhone to kaha tum patthar mein, humne tumhe Allah ki baat sunayenge. What did people of Taif do with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He never said, you know, give me something. He only said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, qul ma as'alukum alayhi ajra illa man shaa attakhadha ila rabbihi sabila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Rasulullah say, O my messenger, I don't ask you any reward in response to my giving you the eternal message of success and the closeness of and pleasure of Allah and the Jannah. I don't ask anything in return. If you want to give me reward, illa man shaa attakhadha ila rabbi sabila, you just follow my path, that is my reward. Imagine, this is the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is saying that my reward is that you go into Jannah, I consider this is my reward. He is not asking. But as I said, don't be confused with this, the ulama, the mudarrisin, the muazzineen, the a'imma of masajid, all these, alhamdulillah, doing great job, they should be paid. I say, they should be paid more than they are paid in the wage. So that. But I'm talking about these people who are manipulating and they have become like a mafia, actually, and, you know, controlling people, manipulating people, and doing speeches and nasheed only. Their motivation is money. Whichever mosque pays the money, they'll come. Whichever mosque doesn't pay them, they're not going to come. If they love Rasulullah, they would have gone everywhere, even people who don't pay. And anyway, that is the matter of dunya. So Shaykh Ibn Tawla Sikandari, rahmahullah, he said, the example of dunya is that you beautiful structure, but there is a toilet on it leaking, and it will make you filthy, and it will, such a person will continue in this state until he will be soiled. But there are people who, however, who cleanse their hearts, as a result of which their hearts remain pure. Meaning there are people, if you keep your heart intact, don't let the love of dunya enter, alhamdulillah, you will be in the dunya, but not of the dunya, of the world. What is dunya? Anything which takes you away from Allah is dunya. Be it prayer, prayer sometimes can take you away. If you are praying to just to be a, you know, earn fame and name and glory and praise of people, that prayer will take you away as well. Recitation of Quran will take you, if you are doing it for dunya, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Riya, ostentation. So yeah, this is the where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us, and we are here. We know, we should know better, but unfortunately we don't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that these people only know the outward appearance of the dunya. They don't know the reality of it is, how evil it is, how harmful it is, how ugly it is. They only know the outward, you may say. It is like the Mashaykh has given it, Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah has given example. He says this is like an ugly old 90-100 years woman, ugly, but who is dressed in the dress of bride and covered her, she has covered her face, and she is fragrant and attractive, they are looking. But outwardly people are captivated. But when someone is face to face with it, they face the reality, then they know it. People who have gone to, left Allah and His Messenger, they've gone to political arenas, they attained kingships. And as you have seen in recent days, what's happening in Egypt, what dunya, through these presidents in Libya and Iraq, what did dunya give them? At the end it killed them. Like Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, the dunya has married many, many husbands. Many, many people have married. But it has killed all husbands. No one lives. And whoever marry akhirah, he will actually. Like yesterday's example, Imam Ibn Tawla Sikandi rahmatullah gave of two women. Anyway, so if you ponder over the dunya here, and I mentioned to you that I will show you that how insignificant the dunya is, that this is the earth is not necessarily dunya, they said anything which takes you away from Allah, but this represents earthly life. How big is it? The earth is our own home, we all share that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautified it every moment, even without our influence it is beautiful. But it is a testing ground. It's like you say, it's the middle of nowhere, a small ball hanging in the in the heavens for testing us. Our spirits are coming there. It's like two aliens have landed on this planet. One alien is Shaitan and other alien is yourself. Because you came from Alame Arwah to this world. You are not inhabitant of dunya. As I was saying the other day, people say we want to see alien. Look at the mirror, you see an alien. Because you are alien as well. Because you never belong to this earth. You were from the world of spirits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you landed on this face of the earth. And you are alien here. You have been just clothed here. Another alien, Shaitan, also came from, he was living in Jannah. And he was sent here as well. So this is a war of two aliens now here. It is the battleground for two aliens. One of the Bani Adam and then other is Shayati. So it is a place of war. It's not a place of picnic. It's a place of actually testing. But it's very small. Even you become king of all dunya, you say, I own two cars, I own 10 houses, I own, even if you own a country, even continent, even this earth, whole, what is it? Look, if you even own and you are ruling this, still as I want to show you how small it is. Some other planets in the solar system, you say the family of solar system, it is, they are even smaller. So this is our Earth. Venus is almost little bit closer to the size. But when you look at the others, even in our solar system, Jupiter, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, now look at our Earth, where we are saying everything is here. Even you become a king of all of this, you will be becoming a king of a tiny ball. It's like children who become happy with just football, and girls who play with small houses, and they say, we have a house, I have a model car. If I cannot buy a car, they'll just happy on the model and children playing. It is similarly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَعْبٌ. This dunya is la'ib wa lahab, it's a playground, it's a meaning for, it is not the reality. So Earth, as you are looking, Jupiter is looking very big for you, but now look at the Sun. Compared to the Sun, how the Jupiter has become smaller. Here it is so big, here it becomes Jupiter. And look at the Sun, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was created. And the Earth is seen as a dot there. Earth is seen as a dot there. And then, compared to our Sun, some of the bigger suns, Pollux and this one here, imagine it. How our Sun, where is Earth now? You say it is, Earth is invisible at this scale. It's invisible. Imagine, it's not seen. We are thinking, oh, very big thing we are doing, and you know, what will happen, and what we own. It is just a deception, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَلْ حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this dunya is but not a deception. It gives you a view, it's everything, it's not. But look at the greatness of angels, how big angels are, how big heavens is, how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When our sun, which was so bigger here, you may say, compared to the earth, and now it has become so small, and this sun. And this sun, Arcturus, is so big, is showing. Now look at Arcturus, now goes small as well here. Here is Arcturus. Now these ones, I can't even pronounce them. Is very big, big. They even bigger. Arcturus. Then actually, this is another one. Still actually from our galaxy, but imagine the sun has become so small. Sun is less than one pixel here. And imagine about this sun. Imagine about this. Imagine about this. Imagine about this. Imagine, that's why the scientists who study astrophysics and this astronomy, their minds are blown. They say it's unimaginable. It's an unimaginable thing. And then look at this photo. It was a real photo, as I say, taken from the rings of Saturn. And this dot which you are seeing from the rings of Saturn is the Earth. This is the planet Earth. Here in the dot. Now look, angels coming down here, amal are being done here, everything we are doing here, all our global conflicts, all our problem, all our greatness and fertilities, all of technologies, arts, creation, civilizations, animals, plants, all our races, religions, all our nations, countries, governments, all our loved ones and hated ones, total of more than 6 billion or 6.5 billion people are living on this dot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that we should be there. So Anbiya alayhim salam came and they taught that this is temporal thing, this is nothing. You are created to be in Jannah, which is the heavenly world. So ye hai. So even smaller than that, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed in the creation of heaven, this is surah, verse of Surah An'am, and with him وَعِنْدَهُ مُفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, the keys of the unseen, لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ, none knows them except him. And he knows what is in the land of يَعْلَوْ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ not a leaf falls, but that he knows it. And no grain is there within the darkness of the earth, and no moist or dry thing, but that is written in a clear record. Imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Every leaf is falling with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of it being very small, but still that's the case. Indeed, the creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of mankind. But most of mankind do not realize it. Because they did not have this knowledge, mankind. Because you say, creating a man again, human being again, after death is a big thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Creation of heavens and earth is greater, which I have done. Stars die and get born again. Have you not seen? If not, I will try to see. Stars die in the heavens. And they are born, new ones are born. Death and love. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that I am causing death to stars like suns also will become, die and also reborn. That's how actually you will be as well. Now here you are looking at the galaxy. Galaxy consists of many millions of solar systems. So our sun or even cannot be seen. Or other suns, the big ones which you are looking, they cannot be seen here as well. But the place is here. Imagine. First it was solar system, then it was millions of solar systems and suns, and then of it consists one galaxy, and this is in the space. Ab kahan hai? Jannate kahan hai? Jahannam kahan hai? You see, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mashayikh say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I will, I can give you, he could have sent us everyone on a planet like Earth, so big. And when we say about how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to give 10 times more Jannah than this Earth to everyone, I don't think we need to go out of the galaxy to, if everyone is given some one planet bigger than the Earth even, everyone will fit in Milky Way galaxy. And they'll be considering this is a Jannah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is much further the Jannah. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ The Jannah, the vastness of it is like the heavens, the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Not like galaxies. It's bigger than that even. And that's why the Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radiallahu ta'ala's Jannah will be like this. Other people of Jannah will see that their Jannah like stars only. They will be such further away. Jannah is like a garden. They are moving over together here. There will be difference of heavens and earth that you will be staying, for example, millions, billions years, light years further in the Jannah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar and others actually. So it's not like a small place. There will be vast differences. Others will be seeing just like stars. They say, which is this star? What is? They'll say, this is Jannah of certain person. Yeah. Why I am here? Because you, what deeds you did, you are there. That is manifestation. And then this whole galaxy becomes a part of universe. In universe, scientists say there are more than 350,000 billion galaxies. That's the estimate. Imagine. Of this, bigger and smaller. So our even galaxy, there are millions and millions of galaxies like this. And all this forms a part of the universe. When, for example, it was created by Allah, then in this you're seeing all these galaxies, and it's continuously expanding. Now where is Jannah? Where is Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Beyond all this. These all come under the first heaven. Ye to pehle asman ke niche aa jati thi. Can you imagine about the greatness then of this? So we come back again to the diagram here. This earth. Now look at this earth from that eye, from that vision. See your problem, you're fighting over little bit of property, little bit of here thing, little bit of there thing, and you are losing a great battle actually, which you are going to gain after. So after a person leaves this world, depending upon what they have been doing, we'll go through that after, they go into the world of Barzakh. World of Barzakh is much greater than all of this universe and what you have seen, the galaxies. Barzakh ki duniya itni badi hai ke wo isse bhi badi. Al-qabru rawdatum min riyadil jannah aw hufratum min niran. It is a garden, such garden which is vast than actually all this universe. Barzakh is such a world. And there is a bad part as well to it. Evil part, meaning the punishable part as well. There we have to save ourselves. That's why we are here on the face of the earth. Then there will be 50,000 years day, a long, long, long life. When there will be people who will, under the shade of Arsh of Allah, 50,000 years day long. For some people, and for some people it will just pass very quickly. And then forever and ever, either you go into the eternal kingdoms of pleasure, which will be greater than the universe which you are seeing here, dunya, 10 times greater than that, will be Jannah, for the lowest person. And the other Jannati will say to this person who are 10 times greater than Jannah, they will say he will be known as Miskeen of Jannah, the poor of Jannah, who have everything, who don't miss. And then it is hell. So today we will just finish here, but this is yesterday you learned some of the purpose and the traveling, and today inshallah you have learned what the reality of earth, that why we need to be in the path to Allah. All these things, they don't take you anywhere. No, that you and me have not become any more pious than we said before. It's just knowledge we are seeking. But this answers why, that why we need to be serious, why you need to be serious, what is at stake for you and your children. And this is the greatest war, this is the real war, this is the real animosity which shaitan have. All others are just temporal things. So aaj yahi khatam karte hain, and then inshallah tomorrow we continue with the teaching you the path, the methodologies, the techniques to attain this, and not to give significance to this worldly earth. So we khatam karte hain. If you have any question related to what we have said, don't ask unrelated questions. It is not time for that. Aise sawalon ki nahi gujay jo iske subject ke mutalliq nahi.
Brothers, if you have any questions, inshallah, please raise your hands and inshallah we will choose you. And brother will come with the mic for you.
So today we have discussed about this diagram mainly. Isi ke mutalliq sawal jo hai, samajh nahi aayi aapko, wo aap kar lein. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This presentation, mashallah, yesterday and today, Allah gave me the word to get together. It's very important.
My question is, I wasn't really aware of where how the pleasure is enjoyed by the flesh. Because what you just described today, what we eat, or the any of the pleasure, is really enjoyed by the devil or nafs, really, not me. But that is a fascinating presentation in the way that makes me realize that really it's nafs is ruling me all the time. Because everything I say, see what is nice, or it's not me. My akhira is something else. That's all I want to say.
Right, Jazakallah. Yes, that is true. And Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah elaborated on this. He said that these organs and the flesh is your enemy. Is your enemy real, who are destroying your life forever. See, these organs are your enemy. He said that they will witness against you on the Day of Judgment. They are not you. They are going to witness. You are something else. Hands, eyes, ears, the pleasures of the flesh, they will witness against you. He rather said, they are not only enemies, they are spies. Now they are silently recording whatever they are doing. And in a very hidden way, they are recording, eyes are recording, ears are recording. And soon as you die, they go against, turn against you. And they will be presented. Yes, you are right. Yes, this is the reality which only Allah, they see and understand. That's why it's easy for them to take bad things or ill behavior and ill words from people, because they say that our nafs is being affected by this. My ruh is not actually. Then when someone swears at you, if you swear, you are become angry and swear, you are nourishing the nafs. And if you tolerate and pray for him, give dua, you are nourishing your own spirit. Then you are giving the food of the spirit. Then you are giving the ruh. So that's why the awliya and sulaha, they see like this. But we see apparently things. So that's why we react to those apparent situations. Things, for example, the nafs is nourished by taking food in. The ruh is nourished by giving food to the others. Imagine, this is the opposite thing. If you eat yourself, your nafs is nourished. If you give the food when the other one is more in need, then your ruh is actually nourished. So they are opposite. But you are the ruh which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The nafs and all this body is just a clothing which will be taken off. It can be changed. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كُلَّمَا نَزِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا, that when one of their body skins will be burnt in the hellfire, it will be replaced with another one. Actually, they are just actually what to so that لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so that they can taste punishment, because the punishment tasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Allah wants to punish somebody, he has given small pleasure of flesh eating, sexual intimacy, and even said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not much, this is nothing, don't actually, we thinking that is the greatest one, we fallen for that. And when the real punishment comes from Allah, or the real pleasure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the person will enjoy in Jannah, one cannot just imagine. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right. Our brother is saying that this question really was asked by Amma Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was saying that if you don't enjoin good and forbid evil, you will be destroyed. And Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha said, even if pious people are present, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even then actually, they are present, still Allah's punishment will come. If the evil, if the shaitanic actions and evil dominates, then even. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, but people will be resurrected on the day of judgment according to their own states and intentions on the day of judgment. When they die, they will be treated according to how they are. So when earthquakes come, when people blast bombs, even small children who have not done anything wrong, etc., or people just passerbys, they also get affected. But they will be treated according to, for them, their killing has become shahada. For others, it won't be shahada. They will have to actually face their consequence. So, Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi alayhi salam, yahi pucha ga, main nekokar maujood hoon, phir bhi, farmaya, haan, jab burai ghalib a jaye, to phir aisa hi hoga, lekin har ek apni niyat par uthaya jayega, qiyamat wale din. To uske liye to wo shahadat sawab ka sabab ban jate hai, uske shahadat ka sabab ban jata hai, nek bande ke liye to. مرنا اس طرح. اس کے لیے تو بڑا اجر و ثواب ہے یعنی اس میں, اور برے کے لیے عذاب بن جاتا ہے.
I just want to ask, you mentioned that we can't be tested if we don't feel the desire or the pull. Say if someone naturally they don't feel a desire towards something, say, such as getting angry, should that person, would it be praiseworthy to make dua for that desire so that they can achieve the benefits of the test, as in say that it's the curb that.
Right. Yeah, brother is saying that we mentioned that these desires and anger and other old things are created, and the attractions towards dunya, they are created for so that a person feels the attraction and pull, and then he sees the command of Allah, then he restrains, then he gets reward. That is the purpose. And he said if someone is not, for example, feeling angry, for example, on certain things, etc. So what should they do? Meaning, the thing is that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be testing that person in another way. Maybe they don't become angry when someone, they are not tested with anger, but they are tested with, for example, eating or drinking or some other, for example, sexual intimacy, or any other way, sleep. There will be many forms actually. Plus, if someone doesn't have that, they should praise and they should praise Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and that is the state which is required. So, if you have that, then that, let's say someone have patience now, they don't become angry. They also constantly they receive reward of being that they have attained that quality. That is the purpose of tazkiyah and purification, so that all your needs and all your desires come in line with actually compliance with Sharia, and then that becomes worship automatically. So you don't, if a person have this quality of tolerance, he doesn't need to pray that he does have, he feels angry or anything. He should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and focus on something which might be another weakness. He might be, there are 101 the other weaknesses and disease which different people have. Some people are attracted to, let's say, money. Some people are attracted to fame and name. Some are attracted to comfort. Some are attracted to the opposite sex. Some are attracted to, other things. So, different people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests differently. And some people, they naturally, by birth, they are given certain qualities. There is no, you may say, effort from their part. Like one of the delegation who visited Rasulullah ﷺ, and their head was a non-Muslim. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that after discussing things with them, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that your leader have two qualities which Allah likes. He was not even a Muslim at that time. And he said one is the tolerance and forbearance, and other, there was another called Sakhava or something like this. So some people, they naturally, by birth they are, so there's no, they have not done anything to attain them, they are, so they should work on the others where there are weak points. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned regarding the anger, that there are four types of anger, or four types of people in relation to anger, how they are affected. One is that who become angry quickly, and then their anger goes away very late. And the other one are they become angry quickly, but very quickly it goes away. And the one who become angry not quickly, but actually, you may say, with delay, they can take it for a longer while. They become, then they become angry, and then they quickly it vanishes away. And then he said, the person who becomes angry, and it takes him greater length of time to the anger to come, and then the anger goes quickly, he is the best of them, for example. So yes, so everyone, that's why, as I said, the earth is a perfect testing ground. It is Allah is the examiner. Someone is being testing with health, some is being tested with wealth, some are having children, some are having disabled children, some are having a good partner, a spouse, some feel that they have married a devilish entity, some feel they have, you know, married wrong person, etc., etc. In different ways, actually, people all the time are being tested. How it is webbed together, no one can really see that. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows how, actually. All we are taught is how to respond to all these situations. And the best response, how one can respond in better way, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented every situation at the extreme. So we will always find a response there, the best response there, how we should respond, either we understand it or not. MashaAllah.
Assalamu
alaikum. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the diagram you mentioned there was a period of non-existence where only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was present and nobody else. So I was just wondering, what was the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, the very first?
The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, there are many, many things in the hadith comes, in different hadith. Also, in one hadith it's mentioned that the Prophet, the light of Rasulullah ﷺ was the first thing which ever created, the light from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created other. In one hadith it comes, qalam, pen, but that doesn't mean that it's the first ever created. It means from all the pens, more the first pen was created, that qalam was written. In one hadith it comes aql, the intellect. In one hadith it comes like the pen. And Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah said, by all of them it is meant Rasulullah sallallahu, because he was the greatest intellect, he was the greatest pen, he is the greatest light. The limit to the Jannah, the highest paradise, really is not known how great that is. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We know one thing, that in the hadith is mentioned, the highest Jannah is called Jannatul Firdaus, and in Jannatul Firdaus there are millions of degrees as well again. So a normal person can go in Jannatul Firdaus, a Sahabi will go Jannatul Firdaus, the Prophet, but in that Jannah even there will be classes. Like for example, people here, you come to UK, for example, from another country, poor country, people might think this is UK is very rich country, but when they come here they also classes as well, and different people, different, and then even in one town there are different classes. This is how this area is more wealthier, this is of more wealthier. You see, there are so many different. So London itself will have many different degrees, Manchester will have different degrees. One is the overall, when we say which is the capital, we say London is the capital, but in London then there will be difference as well. So highest level is Jannatul Firdaus, but that have millions and millions degrees. The highest level of Jannah in Jannatul Firdaus is named called Darussalam. Darussalam. And Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah, he said the highest level Jannah does not have any hoors, any palaces, any rivers, any of the materialistic thing. It doesn't have. Jo sabse ala Jannat hai usme kuch bhi nahi hai isme. No pleasures of the flesh in there, in that Jannah. And he said the highest level Jannah, what that has is the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, the sifat and the zat, and the beholding the beauty of Allah. And great, great awliya Allah, they are going to, and Anbiya alayhim salam, they are going to go there. They will say, on the day of judgment, it will be said to them, go into Jannah. In the hadith it comes that there will be certain lovers of Allah, the sincere ones, that it will be said to them, angel will say, it will be decided for you, you can go in Jannah. They will still be remaining there in the main plane of Hashr. The angels will again say, "You, it has been decided for you, go in Jannah." And three times they will say, their leader will say, "We never worship for Jannah. We never worship for Jannah." And the angels will be silent. What shall we say? They'll go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, they're such your servants that they say that we worshipped Allah for Allah, not for Jannah, and they are not entering. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, they will not go there because, yes, they are my lovers and they only want to see me. But tell them they will be able to see me in Jannah. Go in Jannah. Still they will be hesitant and said, they're still not going, they're still not very happy to go. And then angels will bring some chains of light. Chains of light from Jannah, and with that they are going to take them actually toward Jannah. So the highest level that the brother is asking is the Jannah, in which a person will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All Jannati will get opportunity once at least to go there, but then to remain there will be only for some. Because initially when every Jannati will go, people of Jannah, it will be made announcement, newly you have come to Jannah a few hours ago, a few days ago for example, there will be announcement, big announcement in whole of the universe of Jannah, different places, that Allah has invited all the Ahlul Jannah to Himself. And then people will get together, and people will gather coming from different like planets now for them, they will be coming from different Jannah to that Jannah, and there at least everyone will see at their own level the beauty, the beholding the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearing the kalam of Allah, hearing the words of Allah from Allah, and hearing the recitation from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hearing the recitation of Zabur from Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam. So it will be a gathering. So that is the highest level, Jannah, of which Arsh of Allah is the ceiling of that Jannah. It is so high, it is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how you get to the highest Jannah, as the brother have mentioned, inshallah, if you listen carefully to the coming discourses, that's what we are going to discuss, and inshallah, how a person can. Jazakum Allah.
Any more questions?
جزاك الله خير. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. ما شاء الله. الله أكبر.